Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the one and only Cavs the Podcast, featuring commentary from all of your favorite Cavs the Blog bloggers. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Welcome to Cavs Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Eli Kim, who I'm going to mute. Because I got some clicky in the background there. When I see your voice spike in there, Eli, I'll unmute you. And then we got Chris Francis, and we're talking a little Cavs news, a little Cavs Summer League. It'll probably be the last interesting pod until we get into training camp. But Cavs news. Eli. Who did they extend?
They extended their front office, essentially. Pobo, Gansey, and Sonny Weems, baby.
Yeah, and Mike Gansey's been getting a lot of credit on, like, the interviews with Kobe Altman and Kenny Atkinson and Donovan Mitchell. Just, like, where does he find some of these guys? I think the most interesting story of Summer League so far is Naquan Tomlin, who, like, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, he looks like the best player in Summer League right now. Like, he's been incredible.
Oh, yeah, he is. It begs the question what the hell Kenny Atkinson was watching.
Well, I don't want to go that far, but
he's been a top three player in Summer League. He's been ridiculous.
He has, for sure. And I will also say, like, the thing that I'm super impressed with him, he had two really good scoring games, a 13-rebound game in his second game. And then the third game, what I loved about it is he didn't score a ton, but he was, I think, like, plus 27 for the game. Like, he was affecting the game so much without scoring. And that's enormous, right? Like, they even notice, and it's been super fun because Channing Frye's been doing a lot of the Cavs, or a lot of the commentary, and everybody just is raving about his motor and his instincts for the ball. And for a guy I didn't even realize before Summer League started, he's only been playing basketball for 5 years. Like, he started when he was like 18.
Which is crazy. It looks like the dude was made in a lab. Like, he's 6'9" with go-go gadget arms.
And big runs big like hands.
Wind. Yeah, big
he's hands. He's got great like hands.
And just natural finishing instincts. And now what he's displayed is a deadly knockdown three-point jump. You know, he's like a deadly knockdown three-point jump shooter. The Cavs defense is definitely more metamorphized into a lot better defensive team over the course of the summer. And also, I think that speaks to like what you were just saying, is that as the guys got worse on offense, you know, I mean, they were ridiculous on offense the first game. I mean, there was no defense played in that game, period.
Against Miami? Yeah.
Indiana.
Indiana. Oh, yeah.
There was, you know, it was like 116, 115 in a 40
minute. Yeah, and these are 10-minute quarters.
Yeah, exactly. So the offense, you know, bogged down over the past couple games. But as you said, Tomlin found other ways besides looking, you know. And what was crazy was like he's been so good that they've basically let him try point forward too. He's been running point guard on several possessions. Mixed results. I think what it mainly shows is that he does have at least secondary playmaking capabilities, or secondary, you know, he could be the role guy on a 4-3 and look really good, you know?
Oh, yeah. And
so that's what I'm intrigued to see, is if what he's doing now translates when his role's reduced and he just has to do a couple things well.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that I love more than anything, as you noted, his finishing ability is eye-popping. Like, he's finishing with both hands off both feet, which is next level for a guy who's been playing for 5 years. And then the other thing...
767 true shooting.
Yeah, I mean, it's been ridiculous. Did you see that one alley-oop he had?
Where he... 22% on 22% usage, sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. Did you see that one alley-oop he had where he just kind of like, it was so far out of reach, and he just kind of redirected it with his two middle fingers and put it in with his left hand? It was like but these are next level hands. That's probably the thing that's been most impressive to me about him. And he's like literally exactly the player the Cavs need, which is crazy, right? Like
him and Tyson have just been killing summer league.
Well, I'm not as impressed with Tyson as you are. So,
that's just because you're blind. But that's okay.
Well, that's because I don't love turnovers as much as you do.
I mean, who cares?
No,
I mean, like summer league, that's what happens. These guys don't play with each other, and he's playing point guard too.
No, they're putting him in uncomfortable positions, which is exactly what you should be doing in summer league. You know, I'll just give a couple things I've noticed about him is that I don't feel like he has as much change of direction ability as Tyrese Proctor. Did I get his name right?
Yeah, I would. What are you talking about?
No, man? I think Tyrese Proctor.
No, dude.
Stop. Will you let me finish my sentence?
Give me a break. You're saying something ridiculous.
Okay, I'm going to mute you now.
You watched Summer League at all.
Disagree. Disagree with you, Chris. Finish?
No way. Because it is ridiculous what you're saying. Like, Tyrese Proctor has shown way more skill, but he cannot blow by anybody.
Oh my lord!
Come on, man. Jalen Tylan is getting to the rim. Jalen Tyson's been getting to the rim at will.
I disagree. He's been stymied a lot.
No, he's not. Oh my god.
I've seen him get stymied a lot, and usually when he gets stymied, it's resulting in turnovers. Right. I think that he's had a lot of turnovers. I've liked, especially in the last game, Proctor's ability to handle the ball a little better. And I think his dribble has been a little cleaner, and he's been a little better at change of direction off the dribble. I do think Jalen Tyson is stronger. I do think that he's more of an NBA ready body, and frankly fills a role the Cavs need a lot more, and he's not going to do as much playmaking as he does in summer league when he's on the Cavs, and he's hitting wide open jump shots, he's playing defense, he's rebounding, and he can be a secondary creator. I don't think any of that's a problem. I haven't been totally blown away by his ability to blow by people, and I think he does it's a little easier to jump which direction he's going to go. So I'll just leave it at that. Eli, what have you seen so far?
I've seen Jalen Tyson play really well. I don't know. I'm just teasing. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think from Summer League, I do commend, as much as you don't like Jalen Tyson, I think he's
playing like Jalen Tyson. I think he's playing very well.
Yeah.
These are nitpicks.
He's playing, like Chris and I had talked about earlier, he's playing like what we thought Okoro would be playing like in the Summer League, where we put Okoro in an uncomfortable, the Cavs put Okoro in an uncomfortable position at point, try to see if he had any other juice, and it didn't work out. I mean, he was averaging like 14 points a game as a second-year Summer League player. Tyson, who didn't have the NBA reps that Okoro has, he's like killing it in relative. And I think he's showing that he has a little bit more juice and skill set than Okoro did. And
I'll 100% agree there.
Hopefully, you know, when they're in a, when the Cavs are in a pinch, they might be able to turn to this, and hopefully Jalen can use this experience to bring it to the regular season. I'll be candid. I think I was too optimistic on Proctor. I think he's looked a little bit out of. I mean, he's a rookie. He's a second round pick. He's trying.
Yeah, he was terrible in his first game. I like throw the first game out the window because he's been much better the last two.
But I definitely think that Tomlin has definitely been really good, and I do wonder if the Cavs will just go ahead and use their last roster spot to do it. That's how well I think he's been playing.
How many guys do they have on the roster now? I thought they had 13.
Yep.
Okay, and they don't ever carry a 15th guy.
Correct. They never do.
And the only way I could see him doing it would be like a major injury or two where they have to add somebody or a late season buyout.
Yeah.
I would like to get I would like to get an insurance center, because as much as I like Tomlin, they still need a third center. And Tomlin's not a center currently. So that's my only druthers. Chris, what about Proctor? What have you, I know we disagree on certain key things, but I've liked what I've seen from Proctor in the last two games.
Oh yeah. I love what I've seen from Proctor. But it's not been the offense. It's been his defense and his, also his ball handling. So that's the two things that he really brought to the table that helped the Cavs win the past couple games. It's not been his shooting. He hasn't figured out. Honestly, I think he's too weak to shoot the NBA three. He's been shortchanging every time, but, he's been the secondary outlet guy when they want to really like crowd, when they really want to take the ball out of Proctor or, Tomlin's hands. And he's thrived in that role, just like being an outlet guy, forcing the issue and then dumping it to somebody else or taking the shot that's there, you know, and he's not turning the ball over. So, 8.9% turnover rate over the Summer League is incredible. So I think, I'm still high on Proctor. He can't get to the rim. I don't know what you're watching or what you're seeing, but he just cannot get to the rim, period. Like, he can get to the rim if someone helps him, you know, via maybe, you know, making a play, getting a paint touch. But the biggest concern is he cannot blow by anybody, and he's not making any jumpers. So, but I feel like that's a confidence thing.
Oh, it's a confidence, and it's an NBA body thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he looks weak. Yeah. Yeah, he looks like a 21-year-old. Yeah, he looks like a 21-year-old kid. No,
he honestly reminds me a lot of Halley when he came in the league. Like, real long, lanky, underdeveloped calves.
Definitely body type,
yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I wasn't saying, like, the game. Although the game reminds me of him a little bit, too. Because it is kind of the way you described it was the way Halley was when he came in the league. So, I'm pleasantly surprised with him. I think we're all, Naquin Tomlin has been eye popping. And, when we come back, we'll talk about a few more Summer League guys and who else in the Summer League has been impressing us. And we'll be right back.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Chris Francis. We've got some spicy hot takes. Chris and I are going to put on the boxing gloves after this one and go three rounds, and then I'm going to have a heart attack. But there have been some other standouts in Summer League. I think the one guy that has been very impressive in the first three games has been Tristan Inaruna, who last game had 19 points and 4 rebounds and 2 assists. A couple thundering dunks. Has looked really good in transition, really good as a cutter and a roll man. I definitely think he's trying to play for that third two-way spot right now. And the other guy that the Cavs drafted late is Saliu Niang, who I like a lot more than Chris does. I actually thought Niang was really good in all three games in moments, but I think the book on him that he is very raw is still out there. But I mean, last game he was plus 18. He had 11 rebounds in 24 minutes, 3 assists, only 1 turnover. I think he has a really good feel for the game, but he's just super raw and needs to add 25 pounds. Like, what's your thoughts on Niang so far, Chris?
He sucks. Come on, man.
I actually think long term
he's terrible. His feel 25% turnover rate, and you want to bitch about Jalen Tyson's turnover rate?
I actually like what I've seen from Niang. I think he plays with a good.
The only thing he does well is rebound. I'll give him that. That's the only thing.
He's got great hands.
Which is surprising for a Euro guy.
He's had a ton of deflections. He's run the break a few times.
1.4% steal rate. Come on, man.
Deflections. This is small sample size.
He's not doing shit.
This is small sample size. I've liked what
I've seen. Tyrese Proctor has a 1.7% steal rate, for God's sake.
I've liked what I've seen from Saliu Niang.
Oh, my God. I think you're just a softie. You're getting soft. You're just rooting for these like incredible underdogs that will never pan out. You're addicted.
I like Niang. I like what I've seen. Tristan Inaruna. Eli, have you gotten to watch him at all?
Make sure Kobe's check him. Clear.
What?
Make sure Kobe's check clears.
It's my Gansey's check. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I saw his highlights. I think we talked about this. I think he's just such an old player. He's like literally a man amongst 19 to 23-year-old boys. So I think that's where his physicality advantage and is coming from that, I feel like. But it's a cool story. I mean, he played for the Vikings, right? So
played for the Vikings. He played for Kansas. I think he played JUCO.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's definitely a grinder, and I think that the Cavs like to find those guys. Feel good story. So
yeah, I mean, and he's athletic, he can finish, he kind of has knowledge of the game. The thing that has kept him from moving up is the entirety of his college career and his G League season last year, he can't shoot over 30% from deep. So that's what he's got to fix. And he's been hitting the open three. I definitely think he'll get a look in for that third two-way and probably be on the Charger roster this year. I'm trying to remember where. What are your thoughts on Saliu Niang, or do you not have any?
I mean, I think he's pretty raw. I think he's very raw. Nice, and he has like the NBA body. But I do think he's definitely, you know, if everything goes right, he could probably become an NBA player. But I think he has a long ways to go before that happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. One of the things that I mean, he has not had a ton of experience. Euro seasons are not as long. He plays for Trento, with his in not a very high level league. What is it? Liga? Yeah, he's not in a real high level league, but he does have an NBA wingspan, I guess. He's got to put weight on. They're going to see if he develops in 2 years, and he may be something, he may not. But I certainly think he's a better prospect than Luke Travers, just from his NBA body and athleticism, and you know his ability to project to an actual role of kind of a defensive. I see a little Pascal Siakam there. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I did it just for you, Chris. Just for you. Okay, Chris, who else has been standing out in Summer League, expectedly and unexpectedly? Because I know you're plugged into the... You are an NBA junkie. You're a Summer League junkie. Also, we had to do a Summer League trip. Like, we should do that. Just go for, like, the first week of Summer League. That'd be a hoot.
That would be crazy. Will we survive? I don't know.
So who are we liking here?
Cavs wise or league wise?
Well, I think we covered all the Cavs guys. Unless you got more to cover, I think we can all like. Is CPJ out of shape, or and that's why he blew his hammy? Or
yeah,
100%. Yeah.
He's a little
get it together, CPJ.
He's like Pat Mahomes on his boat.
Pretty much. Hey, man. I mean, Tyrese Proctor's showing something now, so that's the opportunity. There's the opportunity right there. He opened the door for Tyrese Proctor to step in now.
Yeah, I don't know how much stock I put in that, but we'll see what happens.
He didn't look good. I'll say that he did not look good.
He only played like 6 minutes.
I mean, like, he looked like chunky. He looked like chunky boy.
Okay. Well, and I know Terry Pluto had an article, so somebody must have fed him that. So, about how he was out of shape, which is a little surprising because we're only, like, what, 2 months away from when the Cavs played? So, I wonder how much he's been taking time off. I do think it was kind of BS for him to play in Summer League to begin with. Like, I don't know why they wanted him there. You shouldn't. What is this, his third season in Summer League or his second? His third. Like,
yeah, that's
why is he even in Summer League? That's what I didn't understand. Like, he should be out working on his game.
I mean, if it was specifically, well, it could have been his choice, too, because some guys want to play Summer League just to get reps, stay sharp, work on something, instead of just, you know, do the, you know, chair workouts during the off season.
Right.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, dude, don't blow your hammy 2 minutes in after an article comes out saying that you're not taking you're not being professional, dude. What the hell?
Yeah, it's a bad look, especially you don't have a guaranteed contract. Like,
oh, does he not? No, I don't think he is.
Does he?
No, it is. I think it's the minimum, but yeah, it's I don't know. Actually, now I'm questioning myself.
Now we got to look it up. Any thoughts on Craig Porter Jr., Eli?
Yeah, I think it's not a good look. I thought he looked a little chunky coming in. Obviously, he played well for the first, you know, what, 6-7 minutes he was in. But then things went south very quickly. I don't know. I don't know what his long-term upside is, but I do think he should have. That article it should have motivated him to at least try to be in better shape. And obviously, hamstrings can be finicky, but it's obviously not a good coincidence that that happened.
Yeah, so his contract is not guaranteed this season till it's guaranteed date is 1/10/26. So
that, right, so it's the standard minimum. Yeah, okay, so it's the standard minimum. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not a good look for him.
Yeah, especially when, I mean, Jalen Tyson's tearing it up right now as a point guard in summer league in your absence. Like, if it comes down to it between CPJ and Jalen Tyson, if I'm Kenny Atkinson, I'm calling CPJ. I mean, I'm calling Jalen Tyson as the emergency point guard right now.
Okay. Anybody?
Why not? Where's CPJ?
If the Cavs are in that situation, it's not a good thing. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, of course.
Let's just leave it at that. That means they're down to their fourth point guard. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Hopefully it's a wake-up call for Craig Porter Jr. Who else has been standing out in summer league, Chris? I haven't really followed any other teams. I know the Rockets shut down Reed Sheppard today. And I know, like, Cooper Flagg looked like everything everyone expected, right?
Mm-hmm. Cooper Flagg, he was not getting any favors done for him because they were trying to use him at point guard, and that spectacularly failed.
Yeah, but that's, like you said, it's summer league. You put guys in uncomfortable positions.
Yeah. No, they shut him down just because it was, you know, he could do the things that he could already do, which was rebound, play defense at an elite level, you know, make some shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Make some tough shots, anyway. But so,
Reed Sheppard situation, did they shut him down? Was he looking good? Or?
Yeah, he looked amazing, okay. Finally. And he's one of those cases where you have to question Ime Udoka for why was he on the bench all year for them? Because he was a guy that they just needed to – they screwed around. Well, I guess that's the whole thing, is that everybody kind of says – everybody kind of acknowledges Jalen Green was a pump and dump no matter what. So that's why Reed Sheppard never got his shot. But
– yeah, and it's also really dumb that Phoenix did not insist on Reed Sheppard.
I'm sure they did, but they probably – there's no way Houston was going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, then KD would stay in that situation if I was running the Suns.
Speaking of Suns, what do you guys think about Devin Booker getting that deal?
But he got another extension, right?
Yeah, 2 years. I think he's the highest annual average now.
I think these extensions are nuts.
They got rid of Beal. They got rid of the Beal contract.
Did they? Did they finally buy him out?
Contract.
I didn't hear that it was finalized yet.
I don't think it's finalized yet, but I think everyone's speculating he's going to the Clippers because the Clippers shipped away Norman Powell.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but a Clippers, a team that strikes fear in the hearts of no one. Speaking of LA, what's the latest with the LeBron situation, Eli? It's all shade, right?
I think the only thing that happened was when Sonny Weems' extension got announced, he threw a congratulatory tweet, and obviously everyone ran rampant on social media about it. Like, oh my gosh, is he going to the Cavs? So that was probably the only thing that happened in the last 48 hours of LeBron.
And just so you guys know, Eli has been adamant on the text thread that LeBron cannot join the Cavs if he is bought out after the regular season begins. Is that correct, Eli?
That is correct, because he makes over the 14.1 mid-level exception, and that's a second apron restriction.
Yeah. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see him in Golden State next year. Where do you think... Okay, so I'll ask you guys two questions. One, three questions. Does LeBron start the season on the Lakers? Two, does he end the season on the Lakers? And three, what team is he playing for next year? And you go first, Eli.
I think he does start the season on the Lakers. I think he ends the season with the Lakers. And then next year, I think he's on the Cavs next year. And I think he'll do... I think he's going to come and do his retirement tour on the Cavs because he knows the Lakers aren't going to do it for him at this point.
Interesting. Chris?
I co-sign.
So do you think that he plays for the Cavs on the minimum, or do they like find a way to ship Darius Garland maybe and do like some kind of three-way trade? Like what's the contract look like for the Cavs?
They may be able to get to something better if, like, say you dump, I think you could dump Wade and Hunter, maybe.
Well, you can't
without losing
two contracts to sign one.
But yeah, but you could trade. You can dump them both in salary dumps.
Well, that's true.
Get under the apron.
I think that's really hard now with the Merrill deal. They have a long way to go to get under the apron.
I don't think so.
I think they are far away now.
No, they're not that far away. Yeah, Hunter alone would do it. They just have to dump Hunter. It's $19.7 million.
I'm going to actually pause this for a minute because this is the worst podcast content.
So coming back, I was wrong and Mr. Francis was correct. It is about $19 million that the Cavs are under the second apron. So they could move out Hunter or Allen and then get under the second apron to finagle a LeBron trade. If that's still the case, I thought they were a lot higher over that. If that's still the case, it's something I could see happening before the end of the summer, I'll be honest. Maybe with a trade centered around, maybe they move Hunter into space and then find a good home for Garland. But yeah, that's something I could actually see happening. But I don't think either of you feel like it's going to be this season if his swan song is with the Cavs.
No.
He has a little bit of time. I mean, it depends how uncomfortable it gets in LA.
Over the summer?
I think people forget.
Right.
Yes. And he's going to still get that. So
I don't think he can force a buyout there.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad look, too, for his...
It's a terrible look for his life.
Well, he has a no-trade clause, so any trade that happens, he can spin to, hey, this is where I want to go. This is me making this decision. So, but the Windhorst and Ramona Shelburne stuff was really interesting about how, you know, I think you said in the thread that it's the first time in his career he hasn't dictated his own situation.
Yeah, and the passive aggressiveness stuff.
Well, that's not the first time in his career. I mean, don't fit out, fit in. Kevin Love, is he done in the NBA or is he going to find some place to sign?
I don't know. I think the Cavs, it might not be as seamless as a fit.
I just think it's the roster crunch.
Yeah.
Although
the Cavs might cut CPJ, maybe that creates a spot.
that really was not a good look when you don't have a guaranteed contract.
Yeah. So.
But maybe there's more. And you got to know if they fed Terry Pluto a story that, like, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? Because Terry Pluto is not the most plugged-in guy.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm sure Fedor didn't do it because he's, like, almost too well-connected with everybody.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is like, Fedor has got to have a little bit of credibility with the players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't write hit pieces on people, and then they won't talk to him.
Although I guess he did. I'm surprised that he even went after DG this offseason.
Yeah, he keeps going after DG, which I think is interesting.
How so?
Because he keeps bringing up the quote from last year when Donovan allegedly said that he felt like his teammates weren't ready. And Fedor has made it clear that he thinks it's Garland. And he brought it up this offseason with, like, no reason to.
Last year being the previous summer 2024?
after they lost to the Celtics.
Yep. Yeah, but the problem with it is Garland should never have been playing in the second round. Like, he should have been benched. He was not healthy enough to play. Like, that's the stupid thing about this whole thing.
True.
Like, if he wasn't hurt, they should have shut him down for his own good. But, and for the team's good, frankly. But if they don't trust CPJ enough and to, or clearly did not trust, after the first couple games, did not trust Ty Jerome, I guess they felt like a hobbled Garland was their best option, which doesn't seem very intelligent to me. So, have you guys caught? Well, we'll be right back and talk a few more things Summer League and look forward to the rest of the summer here. Welcome to Cavs. Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Eli Kim, Chris Francis. We're talking Summer League. I think there was a couple guys that you wanted to shout out, Chris, that the Cavs should be given a longer look to. I think we all, you know, neither of us have been very impressed with Omier for the Cavs. And who was the guy, who's the big, tall 6'11 kid?
Well, there's two guys playing well defensively for sure, and that's Caden Shedrick and Warith Alatiche. They've been turning in incredible, like basically it's been those guys' minutes where the Cavs started balling on the defensive end. And so whereas what I'd like to see is actually less Salu Niang and more of one of those two guys with Omier, because I think Omier is kind of getting screwed by having all of his minutes attached to Niang, because that's been the rotation. They've been all in the starting lineup together. Omier has some incredible stats, you know, in terms of rebounding, in terms of stock rates, things like that. But, you know, his offense is really struggling. So I don't know if him playing center is causing that, you know, because he's like 6'6 at best, you know, and he's the, like, for instance, he was the one guarding Khalil Ware, who went off on him in the game against the Heat. So maybe mixing up a real center with the starting lineup will be cool in the form of Shedrick or Alatiche, you know, and see how they do with the real center.
Yeah. Well, I think Alatiche is a forward, at least according
to... Well, he's playing like a... Well, he's producing like a center, so...
Yeah, fair. Yeah, and then Ornier from Baylor and Caden Shedrick from Texas and Alatiche from Oregon State. And they're all around 24, 25. So these guys are older guys. Some of them are still rookies, which is crazy because we've now entered the year of fifth-year seniors playing in the NBA. I think Darius Brown is from Utah State. He is 26, and he's a rookie. Like, it's crazy how long these guys are staying.
I think he played for the Cavs last year and was good. And he's actually been good this year, too. It's just they wanted to look at other guys, I think.
Oh, okay. So, I'm sorry. You're correct. I'm going off the years pro, and it doesn't include G League years, so my bad.
They counted like half the rookies that were listed weren't actually rookies.
Oh,
I don't get why they the way they count rookies is weird in the NBA. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, would Naquan Tomlin be eligible for Rookie of the Year next year? No,
I don't think so. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even though he was never rostered, right?
Right, but never played in NBA. I think if you play in one regular season NBA game and you get minutes, that's your rookie year.
Oh, that's your rookie year. Okay, that's so weird.
It is. It is super weird.
Oh, because that's how they backdoored that one guy. Wasn't it Simmons they backdoored into Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, and then...
That was a joke then. What the... What?
You're so angry. You're an angry man. Yeah. So, yeah, look for more defense. The Cavs have how many summer league games left? Two or one?
I think two.
Two.
Two scheduled, and then it gets into
the tournament
format. And the tournament's
weird. I think they're in the single elimination side, aren't they?
Cavs did make it. So I don't know if they've actually made it yet.
I don't think.
Yeah, they might not. They need to win at least one more, I believe.
Yeah, I think they need. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they play... I don't know who their next game is. They play tomorrow, and they play... Or maybe...
Sacramento.
They play Wednesday. Play Sacramento.
Yeah, they play Sacramento. They're in the Thomas Mack Center for the first time. So that means they might be on the big show.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, so they play Sacramento and... any other crazy summer league stories that we might not have heard, Chris? Anybody just blowing it up?
So there's a few guys that have been blowing it up. Hold on one second. I want to look at the draft. Because I don't know their names.
This is really, really the preparation here on Cavs Podcast. Yeah. It's just off the charts. I mean...
So the guy who stuck out immediately was Joan Berenger for the Timberwolves. I just butchered his name. That's not how you say it because he's French, I think, or something. But
yeah.
Basically, they got a carbon copy of Rudy Gobert all over again, with better offense.
Interesting.
So that dude's ridiculous. I guess Nets Traore has been good. Igor Demon or Egemon or whatever, he's been awful. And both of their picks have been awful, except for this Traore guy, which I guess saved their draft. Will Riley for the Jazz. He plays for the Wizards. Sorry, he got traded. Will Riley from Illinois, ridiculous wing. If the Cavs could have somehow gotten him, like, that's a guy you trade for immediately because he's immediately popped. The Heat's, so we got to see Jakučonis for the Heat play. He's been good. And actually, it's a feather in the cap of both Tyson and Proctor that basically they owned him all day. So,
yeah,
because he's been one of the standout rookies. So, Jace Richardson, Quentin Richardson's son, I believe. Is that who it is? I believe. Yeah. Jace Richardson's been awesome.
Buzelis has been really good, but he should be really good.
He was a starter. He's one of those guys where you question why the hell is he playing summer league, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
Trey Johnson, ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous good. Dylan Harper looked good in his little VJ. This draft was loaded.
Yeah.
This draft was loaded.
Now the other thing looked good, that, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
The other thing that you're seeing is second round picks are going to be more valuable because I think teams have just realized that picks outside the lottery from like 20 on, like the value is the amount of development that you give those guys, right?
Shanghai Shaq. Yang Hansen.
No. Bro, that guy?
What?
Shanghai Shaq. It's the greatest.
Shanghai Shaq. What the hell? What's your problem, bro?
No, Chinese Jokic.
What? Who drafted him? Was it Portland?
The Blazers, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be a player. He's going to be a player. He might not be a star, but he's going to be a player.
Well, also, I called why they drafted him. They're a team for sale, and they now just have the biggest Chinese market in the NBA.
Yeah, and he's got the goods, man. I like him.
He has a good feel.
And, he can't defend. He can't defend the perimeter worth a shit, but I don't think it'll matter.
But he has a really good vision. So.
Yep.
I'll be honest. Obviously, my girlfriend is Chinese, and the Chinese social media, they're convinced that he's the Chinese Jokic.
I love it.
Baby. Yeah. I think his like they nicknamed him already like the Chinese baby Jokic.
His nickname is the Big Tariff.
Well, you know the Trump nickname from China is 10,000 Tariffs Grandpa.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that's a real nickname I heard.
Yeah. So they're calling them the Big Tariff.
That's awesome.
Young Hansen. Yep. No, he's been good. He's been legit. He's been good. And
Shaq is fantastic.
People love him. Love him, man. Like, he's got charisma. Like, people love interviewing him. Yeah.
PlayStation interview.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, this draft was low-key loaded.
It's super deep.
Thomas Sorber, still pissed that the Thunder was able to just pick off a really nice player, just like falling to them.
Well, and they got the guy who was hurt. They got Topic too, who was hurt all last year. But he was hurt when they drafted him, and he's looked pretty
good.
And
Sorber was an injured guy. Yeah, Sorber was limited due to injury. But they've ended up getting what looks like a perfect – looks like – I mean, basically, they've made Ihard pretty much probably expendable at this
Hardy.
Point.
Hardy?
Yep, Hardy's gone.
Well, I know a place he could play. Humpback and all.
Where everybody knows your name.
Yeah, exactly. Well, awesome. Cavs training camp, I think, kicks off the 15th. Or, I'm sorry, September, mid-September, late September.
Late September.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, late September. And I think NBA didn't start as early this year. I think it's a little later in October. I know you guys, what was it I said, the road to the finals for the Cavs starts with ignoring the NBA Cup. What do they got to do to fix the NBA Cup? Like, do they just need to get rid of it?
They moved it, didn't they? Didn't they just move it?
No, I think it's still in the season, isn't it?
No, I thought they moved it in the season, though. Like, it's at the very beginning of the season now.
Oh, I don't know.
That's... Oh, by the way, training camp starts October 1st for the Cavs.
Oh, October 1st. Okay.
And it's in Florida.
Media day is September.
Media day is September 30th.
Yeah, I don't understand what they're doing with the NBA Cup. Oh, yeah, it starts on the 31st. Like, why are you starting a tournament at the beginning of the year? It's just...
Because no one cares about those games. They don't literally matter.
Well, you know what they should do? And I was talking about this with someone the other day. If they want to make it matter, make getting to the cup, winning your pool, worth two wins. Winning, or worth an extra win in the standing. Getting to the finals of the NBA Cup, worth three wins, right? Or instead of one win. Winning the NBA Cup, another three wins instead of one win. Like, that to me would make teams a lot more likely to,
to care. Try.
Yeah, because then you can take some games off, right? And that's the whole problem, is these teams just kill themselves for the NBA Cup, and it's killed the last two winners. We had Milwaukee last year and LA the first year. It's not been good for their teams for the rest of the season, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's just poorly conceived. I don't know. Silver for prison. Okay, guys, any other NBA storylines that you want to chase down? I feel like we're in the holding pattern of the season. Like, there's really the only summer play this year is Euro Cup, which most of us don't care about. Ben Worth somewhere cares about Euro Cup. and we have... And I think the big thing, and fortunately none of the Cavs have to worry about this, is everybody's just hoping their players don't get hurt, right? Mm-hmm. Like Luka. There's a question. Does Luka take the big contract extension?
I actually don't think so. I take that back. I think he takes it, but I think he does the 3-year.
The shorter one? Same thing with Jokic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that... LA's fixing to get Jokic or Giannis next.
What do they have LeBron. To? They have nothing to trade.
Cap space.
Did that even stop them from getting Luka?
Well, but they had a player to trade. They had Anthony Davis.
They have LeBron to trade, though.
Yeah, LeBron's. Well,
LeBron.
I guess,
what if LeBron could accept a trade with the understanding that he'll get
bought out?
Bought out. Yeah,
that is true. That is true. Interesting. Well,
I think that goes to your point about a holding pattern. I think there's moves that are brewing. I do think that. I think slop season's not done yet. I think there's more slop to come.
Well, I think so. The restricted free agency market is a little funky. Like, I think the domino there is everybody's kind of waiting for Jonathan Kuminga to set the market. And Josh Giddey. Yeah, that's what I was just about to say.
Giddey, but nobody has any money.
Well, they can sign him, but nobody wants to go into the next apron. But the other problem is neither of those guys, Kuminga doesn't make any sense for the Warriors. Like, it was a terrible draft pick by them. They can't trade
him. Light years.
Oh, my God. It's so hilarious.
Light years, baby.
They can't trade him. Giddey had just...
James Wiseman and Kuminga. Whew.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that's...
What
that's
a battery. Like, that's
imagine
the
if they took
Ball instead. And front yeah. and Wagner.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they would just be...
That would be light years.
Yeah, that would be light years. They should have taken Ball. It was a no-brainer.
I know. Could have kept him in Cali. That's where he wants to be anyway, instead of driving like a moron in Charlotte.
Well, I think he'd have been an even bigger moron in Golden State. I think that's what they were worried about him, was the spotlight.
That's probably true.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's true, but...
They were scared of LeVar.
I'd be too. Was.
Yeah.
He's an unhinged motherfucker.
Well, and now we've got a Ball brother on the Cavs. So...
We got the smart one, though.
I'm not going to...
He's smart, but he has glass knees.
That's he does, yeah. His knees are made of popcorn peanuts. Well, that is also true. I think Ball can... I don't have any idea what he's going to give them next year. Like, that's part of the reason that CPJ needs to be in shape, because Ball can't play a full season. They need to, like, put the wraps on him, like the frickin' Thunder did with, Alex Caruso. Like, just treat him with kid gloves in the regular season, and he's just there for the playoffs. Like,
pretty much, yeah. No, I can't, like you said, I can't see him playing back-to-backs at all.
No.
I don't know, that'd be
dumb.
Insane. Yeah, that'd be insane. And you're going to have to load management. Like, basically, you're going to just have to give them scheduled, like, it, you know, you just got to consistently. Like,
two games a week.
Yeah. You're going to have to consistently manage him. He's not going to be able to play. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think you can expect any more than 60 from him. And that's, like, an incredible number. If he hit 60 games this year, you'd be ecstatic, right?
I actually think that's too many. I would cap it at, like, 55.
50?
50. Split the difference, 55, right?
Okay.
How many games?
Okay, so over under 55. Over under 55, how many is Ball playing?
Oh, I think I would take the under. How many games? I'm going to look up as my reference point how many games Alex Caruso played last season, and it was 54. So yeah. Exactly the Alex Caruso
That's
situation.
That's a literal... Perfect over under set right there.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. What are you taking, Eli?
I will take the over, actually.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a good one when we get closer to the end of the summer is Cavalier prop bets over unders. Oh, man. You guys follow Guardians at all?
No, they're terrible.
No, they won five of the last six.
I'm a Reds fan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I root for the role. I root for tradition, it's for fine. History.
It's fine. The Reds are fine. I like the Reds. I like the Guardians.
I hate baseball.
Well,
sorry.
I like baseball. It's fine.
Too many racists in the game. Sorry.
Oh, well, I can't.
Yeah, I know. You got to separate the art from the artist, blah, blah, blah.
No, I don't cotton to racism either, so. Anyway, on that note.
On that racial note.
Jesus, Pete. You got anything to pitch this week, Eli?
I do not. Yeah, I don't.
Oh, wow.
Apologies.
Wow. Did it just,
you know what?
Just,
actually, you know what? As okay. a follow to my last shout out, I'm sure you guys were probably annoyed by my messages, but I did go through on that, the Cavs facility tour, and it was actually pretty cool. Obviously,
I wasn't annoyed at all.
It was cool.
I was hoping
they were practice court.
They were getting ready to sign the Korean Channing Frye.
No, it was cool.
Although you know what I said? I said Channing Frye is actually the African American Eli Kim.
Oh, okay.
So. There we but go. I did think, promoting racial harmony right there, Nate. Good job.
But just a shout out. I thought it was a cool tour. You know. The cast facility is great. And
were they trying to sell you season tickets?
Well, part of it was because the rep, like, I bought a floor seat last year, so that's why they, like, contacted, and it was part of the deal, too. And they know yes. that, I guess in the notes, they know that we have this thing, too. So they
oh,
were
okay.
pretty cool about that.
So tell yeah, us what you great. Got to do.
Yeah, so started out, got to do... kind of a stadium tour, got to go in the locker room, got to shoot at the practice facility, and then
is the practice facility connected?
No, so it's like their old practice gym that's in the arena, and then their actual practice facility now is closer to LeBron's old house, which is
okay.
ironic.
I thought that, I yeah, but they're breaking ground on one,
correct.
Like on the west side of the flats, right?
Yep. The room, they are moving that facility over
yeah.
to closer to downtown because yeah. obviously there's no reason for it to be in Bath, Ohio anymore because LeBron doesn't live there or doesn't play for the team. So
yeah, well, both things can be true.
Oh, wait, yeah. the practice facility is all the way out in Bath in Akron?
Yeah.
It's, like right it's not that far. But
Independence. It's an Independence.
Oh, Independence. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like splits the distance, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. No, I know.
But besides
it's a half
that,
hour from LeBron's house. Yeah. 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
But that was great. So that was just followed up on that.
Any cool things that we might not have known about the whole arena or anything cool stuff you got to see that would surprise us?
Yeah. Actually, ironically, the sports betting thing, they've spent a lot of money to make a sports betting lounge. That's actually already gotten repurposed because no one uses it. because everyone just does it on their phone, obviously.
Yeah.
And then there is going to be some new, like, premium sections. And while we were there, it was crazy because that's the day LeBron was, like, golfing in Akron.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
people were all super excited, thinking something might be imminent. Like,
well, and he showed up at the Cavs practice facility too.
Yeah, and then he went to the Cavs practice facility after that. So,
well, I was like, oh, LeBron's gonna be a Cat.
Yeah. So that was kind of the flurry of activity for the day.
Nice. That sounds like an awesome time. Chris, you got anything to pitch?
Sure. I'll keep it Cleveland centric. I'll pitch. The trailways all over downtown Cleveland. The towpath trail.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's one thing that's so great about the Cleveland Metro Parks are killer.
Dude, it's awesome. So I went on the towpath metro trails. Did Sokolowski's Overlook or whatever. Did Edgewater Beach Parkway or whatever. Did the flats.
Are you biking or walking?
Walking. Nice. Walking. So I walked down. I went from downtown to Edgewater Beach on the Edgewater Trail.
Okay.
And then I did the
top. How far is that? Like
about 4 miles.
Okay.
Four
each
miles?
Way.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't even know if it's that much. No, it's, I think it's 2.5 miles one way. So nice. 4 miles round trip, 5 miles round trip from downtown. So, and then I walked down from, then I took the towpath from downtown and walked all the way almost to the steel yards, to the steel yards.
Oh, very cool. Down.
Yeah. So that was about 4 miles. And so, yeah, and the views are amazing. The little, you know, neighborhoods are amazing, you know, like Ohio City, Tremont, you know, the also spending a little bit. I took a whole bunch of pictures of the flats recently, like Settlers Landing, and would watch the barges go down Cuyahoga, you know, so it's cool.
Damn,
man.
You're just soaking in Cleveland lore here.
I did.
You're just,
man,
immersing yourself in Cleveland.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was born here, but I never really got to ever enjoy it. And
that's
my parents
awesome.
My parents, I think the one thing my parents ever took me to was like Chagrin Falls once, maybe.
Nice. I laugh because there's actually a Tragically Hip song, which is a Canadian band, about, it's called Chagrin Falls, Ohio.
No, are you serious?
Yeah. That's funny. And then also Chagrin Falls is kind of its own thing too. So, well, that's awesome. I'm a little jealous, not going to lie.
Yeah, people should use the trails, man. That's what I found shocking, is that there's not that many people on the trails using them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So
it's,
one of the
so
things
awesome.
That was in the in-game interviews with Channing Frye and Jared Greenberg, which were all fantastic, by the way. And Channing Frye is so great, and I think everybody's getting excited about the 10-year anniversary of the title team coming up next year. And one of the things that we're also excited about is Cleveland's getting a WNBA team, which I'm excited about. And one of the best quotes was like, the women get to enjoy Cleveland in the summer when it's at its best. So,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah,
so that's really
cool. Screw
you,
Sophie. Who the hell are you?
I don't even know who that is. So.
That's all right. We don't know her.
So, and then this is a perfect tie into my pitch for this week, which is for the movie Superman, which was filmed in Cleveland. And there's so much recognizable Cleveland real estate in the movie. It's a fantastic movie. It's a movie you can take your kids to. Yes, there's violence, but it's, you know, comic book violence. It's a great message of just, you know, try to be a good person, try to put one foot in front of the other, and just be a human. It's really well crafted, really well done. The soundtrack's fantastic. All the shots of Cleveland are fantastic. As you know, Superman was invented in Cleveland by the original writers, and they pay a ton of homage to that, as well as there's a baseball team in there called the Cleveland Meteors, and there's a big fight scene that takes place within clearly Progressive, formerly Jacobs Field. And they're actually doing a promotion next week around the movie in for the Guardians. My wife's actually going to be there, and you're going to get a free Cleveland Meteors t-shirt from the fake team in the movie, which is super cool. But it's just it's a really well done movie with a great message. And anybody who's saying the movie is woke is a ridiculous human being that doesn't understand that has twisted values, I guess I would say. So it's a really fantastic movie, and I think it's a movie the country needs. So I'll just pitch it. So that's what I got this week.
Well, yeah. I was curious just because of the Cleveland angle. I was going to go see it just for that.
No, it's totally worth it. It's totally a lot of fun. Like, it's a comic book movie. Don't take it too seriously, but it's got a great message. Nick Holt makes a fantastic Lex Luthor. The kid that plays Superman, he's perfectly cast. They make him the most cornbread kid in America. Like, he says shucks and dang it and like never swears in the movie and just is just as about as wholesome as you can get as for a title character. So it's really interesting, and they do a nice dichotomy with him and Lois Lane, who they describe as a bit more punk rock, and it's just got some great cast members. It's really well done. You should check it out. So I recommend seeing it in the theater. There's a couple really touching scenes, and it's just really it. My kids loved it. My kids are huge DC fans, and huge comic book fans. So it exceeded all their expectations, which was good.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. Go Cleveland. Cleveland rocks. So are they going to be the Cleveland Rockers, the WNBA team? I hope so. I hope they keep that.
Do the Colin Sexton serial killer jerseys?
Oh, yeah. I love those jerseys. Those are, like, actually some of my favorite City Edition jerseys from the last few years.
They were. I mean, you know what's funny is, like, they aged pretty well because, like, there's never been anything really unique like that. All the City ones recently been garbage.
Yeah.
I hate them.
No, I hate them all. The Tide Pod ones were awful.
Yeah.
And then...
Because it was, like, half-assing the old... It was, like, half-assing our vintage ones.
Yeah. But those ones were just super cool. I love the Love one from that era because it just says Love on the back. And I think it's really punk rock in a way. And the other one, like, I thought the ones last year were awful. The Carolina blue ones. Like, I just didn't even get them. Like, they didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though Eli has a Mobley one now. Oh, Eli's off the pod. So signing off for Eli. anything before we take off here, Chris?
No. Go Cavs. Let's do it, baby. Hey, LeBron, he's coming home. Let's go.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers. There's a fire.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.